You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ravens Guru Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Good stuff with Tite and Jim Dre. And don't forget again tonight, tune into the Cleveland Browns Mike Pettine Show at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 850, hosted by myself and Ken Carmen. So that certainly will be a lot of fun. All right, Matt, I got to ask you.
Sure.
This Geno Smith story.
Yes.
So the guy who hit him has already been cut. Geno Smith was sucker punched in the locker room, in the jaw, broken jaw in two places, out 6 to 10 weeks.
Surgery required.
What's the worst locker room fight, altercation, fracas you ever recall witnessing?
You know, I can't say that I recall right now. Throughout the rest of the show, I'll, you know, scour my brain for any, you know, good, you know, in the locker room fight. But as Jim said, this is something that gets figured out on the practice field where helmets are on, pads are on, you're protected. And this is either, this is a couple things. A, the fact that it happened in the locker room means that, bless you, God bless you. That what they did is they basically pulled either something that happened on the practice field, which is really rare.
It wasn't football related.
Okay, it was not football.
Coach Todd Bowles.
That's not football related. Okay, I was going to say, you know, it would have been very rare for a starting quarterback and essentially a second or third string linebacker to have that much going on between each other on the practice field that you would pull that inside. So what this has to be, in my eyes, it has something having to do with money, or it has something to do with a female. Meaning, one was dating one, started talking to another, hooked up with another, whatever it is, which, sadly enough, happens in the National Football League or in professional sports more than you might think. And a comment had to be made, or for one individual over the other, to sucker punch another man, like, you've got to have reached your boiling point.
So Ian Rappaport reporting right now, it says, word is Geno Smith put his finger in the face of, we'll call him Ick, during an argument that wasn't getting diffused, then came the punch. You got to think that it's something, as you said, severe. I don't know that it would be just a matter of they get into an argument and it just gets, I put my finger in your face and you're just going to knock the quarterback of the team.
Well,
but people are hotheads.
But at that point right now, I mean, when two, it's not quarterback, backup linebacker. It's grown man versus grown man. And Ick, as we'll call him, doesn't, you can't process in the heat of the moment. You could be punching President Obama in the face, Bill Gates in the face, or Geno Smith in this case in the face, and it doesn't matter to you in the heat of the moment. You know, and that in some cases, and I'm not defending it by any means, is when, you know, with domestic violence, you know, when females, in some cases, want to talk and act like a grown man then reacts, you know, which is why in some cases,
no.
Which is an absolute no-no, but I'm just letting you know that in this case, it was grown man versus grown man. And all it was a pure on reaction. And more so than anything, it's a matter of disrespect.
Yes.
Geno, you know, Ick.
And that's when you realize you're a grown man, that you don't act on the fake notion of respected or disrespected or anything like that.
Right.
That's when you truly have made it. As Mike Florio just tweeted from Pro Football Talk, if someone, having someone put their finger in my face is grounds for breaking their jaw, I'd be tweeting this from prison. Which, yes, you got to grow up. Now, interesting to note, Michael David Smith tweeting out that in college, Ick, we'll call him, was convicted of battery on a police officer. The Jets drafted him anyway, but they have now cut him for battery on their quarterback.
Yeah, not good, but great for us.
It's good. It's great. So you never saw any kind of,
not in the locker room.
Never
in the locker room. And in some cases, I talk about it continually about me, you know, growing and maturing, about being a pro. We had a locker room full of professionals, and young players knew their role, and. And what was really kind of weird to see, and if you watched the...
Could you imagine if you as a rookie, like let's imagine, let's take you back in your second year in San Diego. Was it still Drew Brees?
Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, yes. We had drafted him. Yep.
Okay. Could you imagine in your second year, you're fighting for this team, that there is anything that Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees could have done that would have made you punch them in the face in the locker room?
No. Not... Well, personally related, if you overstep a boundary and you feel... truly disrespected, or in some cases, if you felt like you got outed, about that disrespect to the remainder of the locker room and you become a laughingstock, your temperature starts to go up super fast and you are on a short leash.
Sure.
Where, and that finger to the face was what took him off that leash and why he sucker punched him.
It is certainly pretty wild. Bowles, this is Todd Bowles, now that coach, talking about the cause of the punch, and I quote, "It's something very childish that sixth graders could have talked about."
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like it was
It had anything to do with money or anything having to do with a female. I guarantee you it was something, a matter of
a joke,
respect,
maybe.
A joke. Exactly. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so now that you know that that's the framework, that we're not talking about owing a bunch of money, we're not talking about sleeping with your wife or girlfriend or something of that nature, does that surprise you that it got to this point? And Mike Chappelle, who covers, is, you know, the Indianapolis Colts, said, "Trying to imagine an obscure linebacker punching Andrew Luck, and I can't. If it happened, we might never find the linebacker's body."
Fly him to the desert and dig a hole.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. And now you look at the New York Jets as a football team, completely different.
What does this do to their locker room?
There's a shock. There's a glaze over the entire locker room right now of disbelief.
And you have a first-year head coach.
First-year head coach. Already, you've made some strides as we did our team previews for the upcoming Browns opponents. And you can look at the Jets and say, there's, of course, the question at quarterback with Geno Smith not progressing the way you'd like to see him, but they have made progressions as a franchise to get skill players in Brandon Marshall, you know, Eric Decker. You get Darrell Revis back defensively. You've got a great defensive line, Leonard Williams, Sheldon Richardson, great players up for David Harris got re-upped. You got Cromartie back in New York, Buster Screen via free agency, and now you have this happen, and now if you thought Cleveland's defense had to be good for the New York Jets to be competitive in the National Football League, their defense has to be the best in the NFL.
Yeah, they're going to have to be, and they put a lot of money into that secondary with Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie, and Buster Screen, former Cleveland Brown. They brought it, traded for Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
They've got Eric Decker there. So they do have some pieces, but certainly interesting. Somebody tweeted me back in 2008 that Brady Quinn was punched by Sean Smith, apparently in the Browns' weight room. So back in 2008... True story. Darnell Dinkins had since confirmed it as I'm looking this up. So somebody was saying, have you ever heard of another quarterback getting punched besides Brady Quinn? So I guess not. I guess not. Certainly not out 6 to 10 weeks. Certainly a shocker. And
while it may be immature, when the truth actually comes out in both cases, both Brady Quinn and Geno Smith, there are people like you and I or people out there in the public that might go, well, he deserves it. Whether he's a quarterback or not.
That's right.
You know? And that's the difference between great teams and good teams, or good teams and bad teams, is the bond in the locker room. Because on a good team, a rookie linebacker, as you just tried to mention that scenario with me, wouldn't dare come near or touch or have that altercation with the quarterback because of what he meant to your job,
right?
You know, from a Jets or Chargers or Browns standpoint, you know. But what he means to that franchise, and now this guy's out of a job, and he's not going to get touched with a 10-foot pole by anybody in the National Football League anytime soon.
Do you think that this is going to apply to the league conduct policy? Because you've got to wonder, this isn't just a training camp fight. This is basically assault, right?
Yeah.
At a workplace.
And if I were Geno Smith, you are absolutely suing that kid, and you're suing him. Not only on what he's going to miss out on, because he's going to make the team. He'll probably start this season on PUP. If it's a 6 to 10 week injury, he might be on that 8 week list. But on potential next contract, you know, terms or monies that he could have earned by coming out and having the season that Geno Smith, I'm sure, thinks he's capable of having. It will deter him from that big contract. So you can absolutely, it could be a civil lawsuit.
Very, very interesting. Unfortunately, the Browns have none of that chaos here at their camp, which is a good thing. The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, spoke with the media following today's practice, and here's what he had to say.
Mike, how come Johnny wasn't throwing today?
I said a little elbow soreness, so we just wanted to rest it for the day, still let him go through everything else. But just it was the accumulation of reps. Started to get a little sore. I mean, we would do that with any of the guys, but he was the one who was experiencing some stiffness.
Will he play Thursday?
Yeah, we're anticipating that. It was just today.
He had a big ice pack on his elbow after the scrimmage. Was that where it
happened? All of our quarterbacks iced down after afterwards.
Not unusual.
Standard.
What about Joe Thomas? Any
today was a scheduled day off.
So you think the knee and the ankle, whatever, yeah. Fine?
How about his playing status?
We'll determine that. Position coaches are formulating their plan just to kind of see where we are. There's a chance Joe plays a little bit. There's a chance that he doesn't go out there and take a snap. So we've yet to determine that. But it would be unrelated to yesterday.
Mike, what's your play time plan for the different units?
Probably be typical first game. Get guys, those starters for sure. It'll be all an individualized plan. You'll get some guys that are with the ones that might go into the second quarter. You might get some ones that don't play at all. So, and anything in between. But it's just hard to give an actual amount just because you don't know how the game's going to play out. Things aren't going well. Sometimes you want to keep them out there longer. Things are going well. You want to pull them sooner. Or the way that they're going, their unit's not getting a lot of reps. So that's very fluid.
So you're making about a quarter for most of the season?
Yeah, roughly. It's safe to say.
Mike, how good do you think your team is heading into this first preseason game compared to a year ago?
It's just hard to tell at this point because we've just been going against ourselves. So I feel we're ahead of where we were a year ago offensively. But until we go out there against someone else, that's hard to make that statement.
Mike, can you say the extent to which Thomas was examined yesterday? Did he need an MRI? Did he take one? Or?
I don't think he got one. I mean, I know he went in, the doctor went in there and took a look at him, but I trying to think back. I don't think he went for an MRI.
How excited are you to see the rookies go against a different offensive defense for the first time?
You always are, just because it's really their first true competition, NFL competition. So it's sometimes a night where you sit back and see the look on their faces. Sometimes it's very, very wide-eyed. Some guys, like a Joel Bitonio that walked out there and looked like he'd been playing in the league 4 or 5 years. So you never know what it's going to look like till it happens, but it's something as a staff you're always anticipating it.
Yeah, Campbell made a nice pick over there. Just talk about where he's developed his game.
Yeah, I see he's been solid. I mean, he's very smart, so picking up the system has not been an issue for him. But he's one of those guys on that list, like very curious to see how he is. I know he'll be a big part of Taves' plans as a core teamer. He'll get a lot of work there, and he'll certainly get a good chunk of the game at safety.
Mike, you mentioned that the guys had practiced by today, that you could assume that they probably would not play on Thursday. Does that still hold true with guys like Pryor and Bowler?
Yeah. Yes.
You were talking about yesterday that your last play, Hartline got a little banged up, but he had no problem coming out here again today. Would you expect that from a guy like him with his resume?
Well, to me, it's just dependent on the injury. It wasn't that. I mean, it was just a low ankle, just twisted it. So it was something that was not we felt it was a serious thing. So, I mean, we'll be careful with all of our guys, and we'll always err on the side of caution, especially this early in camp. But he's a guy that was, no issues coming back from it. We put it on the player, especially the guys that have veteran guys that we'll trust their judgment. So, no, Brian's fine.
Mike, what have you seen from Rob Tolson? We've seen him drop short passes, 11-on-11. How has he progressed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's obvious that he needs to work on. But the rest of his game has been solid. But that's something that when the ball gets thrown to you, you got to catch it. I know that's something that he knows and Coach Angelico knows, and they work on it every day. But we're in a bottom line business, and when the ball gets thrown to you, you got to catch it. So confident that he'll put in the work that he needs to do, and then when we get out there in the preseason games, and that's when it counts the most. We'll see how it plays out.
What have you seen from Vince Manley?
Coming off the thumb, I think he struggled just a little bit early in camp with some soreness and just catching balls that he hadn't went through all spring without having the quarterbacks throw to him. But Vince has done some good things. I think he's for us, he's, I think he's faster in pads than we anticipated him to be. I mean, he plays hard every snap. That's an encouraging thing because, you know, good things will happen when you have that mentality. So, but we'll see. He's one of those guys, too. How's he going to respond in a game situation?
I know you just got back out here, but Wilbert said one thing about Terrence is his attitude. He's been a little bit better. You guys haven't had problems with him. What have you seen from him off the field? Because that was an issue with maturity last year.
Yeah, I think he's taken a step. I think there's still room for improvement, but I think Terrence is headed in the right direction on that front.
Last one.
Go ahead, Pat.
With a guy like Pryor, it seems like you would need to see him on the field games to judge whether he can do this or not. How tough is he making it for himself not being able to?
Yeah, but you deal in reality. Right now, he can't be out there. He's taking all the mental reps that he can. But that only gets you so far, so it is unfortunate. Similar to Duke. I mean, we need to know what we have in both those guys, and when they're not out there, that hurts us.
All right, thanks, Coach.
That's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Following today's practice, sounds like we will not have Terrell Pryor, Dwayne Bowe, of course, a Duke Johnson, Sean Drone, Pierre Desir, Robert Nelson, Billy Wynn. Those guys expected not to play on Thursday because they sat out practice on Tuesday, and that was important for Mike Pettine. Now, today was a prescribed day of rest for Joe Thomas. He may or may not go on Thursday. If he's feeling anything at all, I say let him sit.
I in some cases, maybe this, little scare of the luxury that is Joe Thomas came at the right time to where, at least in this game, let him continue to have his rest days be on out here in the practice field, growing in this John DeFilippo system, missing this preseason game, or even the one series. Is you're not going to lose out that much and get something out of Joe Thomas. What I think you could do is you could have Cam Irving or you could have Michael Bowie, go at left tackle. They'll show you a heck of a lot more than having Joe Thomas out there just being the rock that he's always been.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. We know that he's going to be ready to go when he needs to be ready to go. He's a professional. He's never missed a snap. Did he sit today? He said he has never missed a start since seventh grade, Joe Thomas, at any level.
That's insane.
That's amazing.
He's very lucky, blessed, hardworking, all those great things.
Yes, he is. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850, for your thoughts on this Browns team. I want to hear, are you excited about this Geno Smith news? Would you rather face Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick in that Jets game? Is that the craziest NFL story of the year so far? Let us know. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?